Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Well, welcome back, Mission Accepted audience. You rock. We are full of zest and energy for this year. Lots of great things going on. Thank you so much for your comments and your compliments. And thank you for sharing this. When we run our analytics, we are rocking it internationally. I mean, it was really interesting to see in our top 5 that our podcast is just making its way through Israel and Ireland and, of course, North America and all the things. But I love seeing all of the international pieces, which tells me that you're sharing. It tells me that you're listening. And I know from our audience that you're calling them. So thank you very much for that. We're excited. You probably noticed that there's a bit of a different jazz around. We've changed the podcast thumbnail and you guys all like it. It's great. We've always been Mission Accepted Media. We've always talked to people on a mission, but there's something about it, right? There's like this little James Bond edge where we're asking people about the risks that they've had to take. A lot of you are entrepreneurs and you've all had to take a risk. That first risk, I don't really even say it's so much about how you got on the mission. Honestly, if you've been on the mission for a while, it's about how you stay. You know, it's about how you, you know, sometimes pay for things that you don't, that you can't see how it's going to turn out from, or how you get on to, you know, we just had someone who was like their very first podcast and they're like, you know, they can stand on stage and talk to 5,000 people, get on a podcast and they shake their knees. You know, I mean, it's all sorts of different risks that people take, but by the nature of Tony Caruso is with us today. She talks to people about that all the time because she works in the business of speaking. She is an expert in helping people figure out when they're speaking, what they're speaking, and how to do all the things that actually makes it like a business. Now, if you know anything about speaking, most people would rather not be on the planet than stand up and speak. That's apparently the statistics. Kind of hard to think about that, but true. But then there's so many messages in the world by the most incredible people that have written books and written poetry and done articles and all of the things to have people know what they do. But speaking within itself can be a very interesting revenue stream. It can be an interesting piece of your media. I mean, you know, if you're here, you've heard that story long enough, right? But there's interesting things about speaking that sometimes people don't realize that it actually is within itself can be a very powerful business tool, business addition, and that truly making a different, what we would call top performance mindset around what you're doing and why you're doing it. So we had to have Toni come on. First of all, she's super cool. And you've read the book, the 262 Women's book. She's right in there. She was our very first speaker, March 7th, 2023. We've had upwards of 500 women on stage. This woman kicked off the Stand Up, Speak Up, and Show Up because we wanted what? A speaker expert to kick off this incredible movement. So thank you for all of that. Thank you, Toni, for joining us today. We know that you're, you know, driving, flying, automobiling, and talking to us about, I don't know, the business of speaking, how it is such a big part of your career.
I just absolutely love being here with you. You are just amazing. You make your interviewee comfortable. And it's just very special to be in the room with you. So thank you so much.
Aw, okay. So I'm going to like blow my nose a little bit. And like, it's always important, right? It's always important. So tell us a little bit about you. Let's introduce people to you.
Well, I am now currently living in Dallas, Texas. I've been here 3 years, born and raised in California, Northern California to Southern California. And my entire background has been events ever since, I don't know, I was 13 doing my own birthday parties. So as an event planner, just for 30, 40 years, I don't want to tell you how old I am, I have seen, you know, some great speakers. and some not so great speakers. And I've also had opportunities to work on big stages and work with people on smaller stages. So I kind of know the ins and outs of the business world on stages, as well as I've worked in the entertainment field doing events, and I worked in the corporate world doing conferences and workshops, etc. And now I've just taken it to the entrepreneurs. And I'm finding that women have these amazing messages to share. They have these emotional stories, and they're sitting in the audience listening instead of getting up on the stage and sharing. Because if you don't know it now, there is someone in that audience that's going through the exact same thing that you went through, and they're in the middle of it. You're at the end of it. Wouldn't it be nice to show them what the end looks like and that they can make it through? And that's the importance of women on stages.
Well said. Well said. And because you hear it often, you hear women go, if I could just change one life, I wrote the book. If I could just change one life, that's why I'm a coach. If I could just change one life. But that one life, when they say it, it seems like it's out there somewhere, that it's
Right.
not in their circle, not in their circle. And it's in your circle. It's in the room that you're in. It's in the networking group that you're on screen with, where there's three or four or five or six or seven people. If it's not that person, it's the person that's, they're married to, or they're related to, or they're what. I always say that about us. We say it often. It's like, when you're at a dinner party, right? The 262 is in the kitchen. And you know what happens when you're in the kitchen? That kitchen party where you start to tell people really what's going on, because there's the
Right.
dinner party and then there's the kitchen. And I think that when you get up on stage or you write your book or you do what have you, just like you said, there's someone and they're listening and you would have no idea. You would have no
Right.
idea because we don't show up in with that face of need per se. You know what I mean? Unless you're speaking at an event that's all based around that. But let's dig a little more into the business of speaking, because
Okay.
as soon as you say that, people are like, okay, the business of speaking. Well, I speak and it helps me sell my book. Is that the business of speaking? Or is it I'm a professional speaker and I get paid for speaking? Talk to us about what you mean about that, because speakers need to understand a little bit.
Well, I think they need to come at it as if it is part of their business. And I think that is the important part of it. You need a spreadsheet. You need to know who you're following up with. You need to have a strategy. What is the end result when you step off the stage? Is it that you're selling a product or service, or is it you want them to buy your book, or maybe you just want them to opt into a free gift? Whatever that is, if you do not go on the stage understanding what the goal is when you walk off of it, you are making a big mistake. So what I'm saying is you need to treat it like a business. By the way, I am speaking at Deborah Drummond's event on March the 7th. What is it that I want to get out of it? Do I want to just get the video or the recording of it so that then I can repurpose it to show that I have more visibility? Do I want to then have that transcribed and use it as a blog or content creation? Or do I get the opportunity to have an opt-in to build followers that then I can then nurture in my funnel to then sell them into my programs and services? See what I mean? Instead of just saying, oh my God, I get to speak in front of 50 people at the Rotary Club for 10 minutes, what is it you want to accomplish? And I'm not saying go up there and sell. It's you go up there and you tell your story and you share your experiences, because there are people in the room, like you said, that need them, or they know someone else that needs them. So it's just building your visibility and your expertise. That makes sense?
Absolutely. When I hear you speak, well, you're talking to someone that, as you, sees a lot of people present. And there's this thing about intention. We're taking a whole crew of your 262 project over to a pretty big event. I mean, we'll be at the Oscars soon, and then we'll be at the Emmys in September. And we have meetings, and they're like, okay, I go, okay, we're going to do a marketing strategy meeting. And they're like, okay, I go, okay, today's meeting, it's on intention. And they're like, oh. Right. So why are you speaking? What are you going to give? What are you hoping to receive? All the things that you talked about. But to take the time to do that, I love how you said, I said the word spreadsheet, as much as non-sexy as that might sound to someone who likes to be on the front, the front end, right? AAA don't tend to like that. But to be able to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. And it really is a different mindset.
Well, exactly. And let's go dig into the spreadsheet a little more. I teach my elite speakers. In the spreadsheet, you write down the date of the event, how many people were in the room, what is it you offered, what was the cost of that, and then how many did you close? And then figure out what that percentage is. Do you have a 15% close, a 30% close, a 20%? Do you close more if you offer a free gift than you offer your $5,000 program? Oh, and also make sure you put the length of time that you're on the stage. So you can keep track so that it gives you the opportunity when someone like Deborah comes to you and says, I want you to speak on my stage. You can say, well, how long do I get? How much time do I have? How many people are going to be in the audience? And you can look at your spreadsheet and you can do your numbers and say, you know what? I'm going to offer a free gift on this one because this is the audience for that. Or you know what? I think I can do a $1,900 offer on this and close 10 people. It's just a way for you to understand more about your close rate. And it also teaches you, man, maybe my offer's too high. No one's going at it. Maybe I need to change the way I'm offering it. It's an educational purpose. If you only close one person, hey, that's okay. It's a start. The next time you close two, man, 100%. Great job. As long as you're building it. But if you don't know your numbers, then you're flying blind and there's no way you can make the right decisions when you're stepping on a stage.
I love that for two reasons. One is because when you talk about the business of speaking, I've come to learn, and most people have come to love analytics. And people forget about analytics, and analytics is just going back. And so, I mean, I'm fortunate that we have a staff meeting, me and my team, each week. And I'm like, okay, how many people this, how many people that? And you can particularly track. It gets a little more difficult when, like, I just got booked for a gig. And I know that for me, I call media, and I call speaking media. I'm not sure about you, but I say media is the instant long game. I mean, there's been times where I've gotten something a year or 2 years down the road from a handshake that happened at an event. Right. And so, but it is good to even track, like, there's nothing wrong with going back to, I mean, you have a spreadsheet. I do it a little bit different, but going back to there and putting that in. But that comes from nurturing after as well, right? So what do you say to speakers that are just like speaking? And then what do you teach? What's your conversation going on, Tony, about the after? You walk off the stage, either virtually or physically, what's some of the things that people should be doing?
Well, first off, every event, you should show up early. You should stay till the end. I personally don't like speakers who show up 10 minutes before they're going to go on stage. You get them all mic'd up. They go on stage and hey, that, and they do this kind of thing. And then they walk off the stage, meet me in the back of the room, and they stay for a half hour and then they disappear. As an event person, I'm in the back of the room and I have your forms and you offered something from stage. Well, you're not there to answer their question. So I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know what the answer is to that. You can email them at this. You are not closing business when you're on the stage. That's step one. Step two is nurturing those people, whether it be over lunch, in the bar. I've closed business in a bathroom. I mean, that's where people, like, they have questions, especially if it's a high dollar offer. They want to make sure that they are choosing the right person. So that's number one. That's one of my pet peeves. Number two, if the event planner sends you a social media post or copy and creation that you should then share with your community, please share with your community. I don't know why speakers are afraid to announce they're speaking on other people's stages. It only gives them more expertise and more visibility. Hey, I'm speaking at this, you know. Come join me, because your community in that room are your VIPs in the audience. So when people say, oh my gosh, you know, I understand you work with Tony. Tell me a little bit more what that's like. They're going to tell you great things. They're your cheerleaders in the room. So by all means, get your people in the room. And then I think number three would be follow up. You have to have a follow up already in your funnel, whatever that is, so that if they are opting into something for free, they're not only getting the download, but you're sending them an email going, just in case you didn't get that download, it was a pleasure meeting you at Debbie's event. Here's another link for that. Then a week later, send them something else. Have an entire nurture campaign. Have something to lead them into so that you keep showing them why they should be working with you. They already took that first step.
No, I'm with you. It is a boggle. I think that I talk to many people that do what we do. We talk about it internally and externally. And I talk to my speakers, and I come from it from a different area where I'm like, you know, money starts at five. People need to see you five times by nature, have that conversation with you, what have you. We, you know, that's a different topic, but it's about people seeing you and seeing you. And there's this thing about speakers by nature that when you say, like, please share this, they get it, but I'm not sure where that is. I'm not sure whether it's, you know, I'm going on that stage and the whole focus is being on that stage, and they forget that their social audience are their customers as well. Because I think when you go on to a stage, you're looking to receive new people. And so you forget about the people that are almost ready to purchase. And they just don't understand how primed their community is until you go, hey, you know how you're following somebody and you really like what they're doing? Do you realize that when they put that out there, that makes you more excited? You follow people for a reason, but there's somehow they don't flip that switch.
I've seen it with some speakers where they're afraid that if their people come into the room and hear a different speaker, that they're going to want to work with that speaker. It's like, oh, I want to keep my people really close, which I think is a mistake, because if they love you and they're working with you, they're not going to leave you, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not showing that you're visible on all these different stages, I'm constantly promoting where I'm speaking. And because of that, I get speaking gigs, because they're like, oh, she's out there. People want to hear her. I just spoke on a summit on Saturday. I don't know where it came from. Some woman reached out to me. Come to find out, she's been following me on Instagram. Didn't know it. She happened to say in the introduction, oh my God, I was seeing your stories from California. And I'm like, oh my God, she follows me. You know, you just don't know. So the more visible you are, and it shows that people are wanting you on their stages, they then think, oh, she must be pretty good. I want her on my stage.
You'll definitely gain more than you lose if you that philosophy, and most of us come from a very collaborative way of thinking, but it's, you know, it's fair. I think it's fair. Everyone has, you know, we're coming through to more of a collaborative state of being. And if there is someone, you got to think, if there is someone, that other speaker may have the same concern, but there is something way more powerful. You will be elevated. And I love exactly what you just said, because when people see what you're doing, they see what you're doing. It's a small risk for a big reward, right? Because that audience, so then you're going to grab, you know, who you can from that audience, put it in, and you continue, but you'll build really slow.
I love the fact that you said, you know, your people that are following you. I mean, it's that 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
We spend so much time, 80% of our time, trying to get the new people in, when in reality, if you focus on the 20 people that are already in, they already know, like, and trust you, you're going to make a lot more money and you're going to close a lot more deals.
And you know, it's interesting, because when you say that, this thing pops into my head. People will say, oh my gosh, you know, Deb, I don't reach out because I know that you're so, you know, they use the word busy, we use abundant. Yeah. And you ask any one of my people in 262, like, oh my gosh, you know, can I talk to Deb? They'll be like, yeah, just text her. She'll probably talk to you tomorrow or today. Like, you know, sometimes people see, it seems like such an illusion, right? That people are so, they're not, they're so accessible. People are so accessible. And by being accessible to your super fans and letting them know what you're doing and how you're doing, it will better you. But let's get back a little bit to, what are some of the things, like, you've seen a lot of speakers, so have I. Sometimes people love to hear the things that you should do. Sometimes people need to hear the things that, you know, they're not doing. And in between, give me a little bit around clarity and messaging, or, you know, about, you know, you've got the pre-stage, you've got on stage, and you've got after stage.
So you said the good things and the bad things. I love that, because the reason I started my coaching program was because we had one speaker that did all the bad things. I mean, it just was like everything that she did was wrong.
Right.
And so it just set off a light bulb in my head going, you know what? No one's teaching these speakers how to deal with event people. Number one, when people are doing an event, I like to be told ahead of time, and I always tell my speakers ahead of time, here's where you're going to be. If it's a Zoom, this is the link you're going to be on. Be at this time. This is, you know, and give them all the information. This type of microphone you're going to be using. Are you going to be entering from the rear or the front of the stage? Are they doing a video? You know, all those things. Have a list of questions that you should be asking so that when you walk in that room, you'll have, there's no problems. Just know that 3 to 5 days before the event, you shouldn't be contacting an event person to say, am I using a wireless mic? Can I have a Janet Jackson mic? Because I like those the best. You know, I'm bothering them. Oh, you know what? I sent you my PowerPoint, but I changed one of the slides and it's 24 hours before the event. It's those little things that people are going to remember. So show up professionally, be ready to go, and don't cause any problems. If something comes up, if somebody comes up to you and says, this is one of the horrible things about some events, you know, the speaker before you went long. So we were going to give you 45 minutes, you're down to 40, and you're like, oh crap. Just understand your talk so well that you can just take something out to make that 40 minutes and go up there and kill it. Don't go up there and be, you know what? I was going to give 45 minutes and I had this thing I was going to share with you, but I can't because our speaker went too long. You know, just go up there and as if nothing happened. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. It's your time and go up there. And please, please, I was telling in the summit that I just had, if you make a mistake, it's a good thing. Be authentic, be you. People like to see real people. We don't want to go, hey, how you doing? We're so glad you're here today. And I got this thing and we can 10x this and we can do that. Is just, it's a face you're putting on stage. Go up there, be honest, be authentic, and be real. That is when you're going to close the most deals.
That's interesting. Not only because it's not something that we've heard, but when you use that as an example of don't this but do this, and then there's that how much do you tell and how much do you not. I know that when we do our media sheets with people, we ask two questions to make people real, right? You know, what's something that people don't know about you, and what music are you listening to this day? And just those two questions help people drop into you. They drop into you, and people are concerned that if they don't have enough time to talk all so much about their business, that they're going to lose business sales. But I think if you can combine those two pieces, let people know who you are to a certain degree. We just did a podcast and was like, hey, what's on your personal bucket list? You know, one woman's like, oh, I want to go to, you know, to, I think she wanted to go to Greece. But just letting people know that you are a person too is very helpful to let people drop in and start trusting what it is that you're saying from a business standpoint.
Well, and I think with women, and I hate to say as a general thing, but we're very judgmental. We look at certain women a certain way. If you come on that stage and you are too perfect, you're too pretty, you're too put together, everything is so perfect about you, women put up this little wall like, oh, she's so perfect. And they spend time trying to tear you down. And that's not what you want. You want them to spend time listening to you. So come out, you know, come up there. Don't be so put together. I'm not saying, you know, show up in your shabby clothes, you know, but be real and be honest and be engaging and get that audience to fall in love with you because that's the reason you're on the stage. Not only to share, but for them to really like you and want to move forward with you and get engaged with you and basically go, tell me more about you. Tell me more about this program. Oh my God, you know, I really could relate to what you said. It's reality is the key right now when it comes to stages, being real.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, with speaking being a business. The style of speaking does have trends, right? I mean, authenticity came in not so long ago, right? Probably came more in when, you know, everyone was working from home and there was this level of authenticity because you weren't walking out the door and presenting to the world. You're walking into your dining room. So that's people started to get a little bit more real because people were getting real in the world, right? getting more together. And so what would you say to someone? It's difficult for speakers to talk in smaller times. At least that's what I hear. Like when one of the most difficult presentations I did was 4 minutes. Right. 4 minutes to 400 people to talk on how to raise conscious children. Oh yeah. I'm like, just be a conscious adult. Gotta go. Peace out. You know what I mean? So seriously, can you talk a little bit about talking tight? Like how, when someone's got a limited amount of time.
Well, I think that as women, and I speak mostly for women speakers because that is my mission and goal.
Yeah.
We have a tendency to want to give everything. I want to share it all. I want to give it all to you. Your audience can only digest a certain amount of information. For instance, if you have 20 minutes, you should only be giving 3 tips, 3 suggestions, whatever those 3 things are. You start with what the problem is. And then you talk about why you, and then these are the 3 things I've learned to overcome that problem. Then you say, okay, you just learned blah, 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 blah. Now this is how I want you to take action. 20 minutes, mm-hmm. Simple. If you try to give them 7 things, 10 things, it's too much for them to digest. Remember, go deep into 1 or 2 things. Go deep into it. Don't give them the whole, what is it? The sink, you know, whatever that is, the kitchen sink. Just give them a couple of things that they can then put into action immediately in their business when they walk out the door. That is your goal. Your goal isn't to just vomit all over them, giving them all these ideas and suggestions, and you're all over the place. They shut down and they go, it's too much. Can't do it. I'm out. You know, You want them to just go, oh, I can do that. Oh, and I could do that too. Oh yeah, perfect. Now what do I do? I've done those two. Now I got to go back to her, find out what 3, 4, 5, and 6 are, you know?
Yeah. Any suggestion for, and I know we're going to wrap up and I'm going to just stop asking you questions, just because I know you so well. And of course, I'm in the same industry. When people say to you things like, now I know you've covered some of it, but when people are not getting their ROI, when they're not getting their return, it can go everything from maybe your information needs to change. Like it could go everything from, but it tends to be like, well, that stage I didn't, or that podcast, I didn't really get anything from. Those are probably coming from more early on speakers, right? They don't understand that it's right. More of the collective, but for the after piece or for the ongoing piece of being a speaker and making it a big part of your business, any suggestions around that?
Well, I think what you have to understand is you can't be walking on a stage for the first, second, or third time you've ever done it and try to sell a $5,000, $10,000 program. Mm. It's not going to happen. So just know that it's like comedians. They go on the road and they do all their jokes and they figure out which ones work. Then they get on Johnny Carson. I just aged myself, right? Now it's Jimmy Fallon, whatever. Then they get on and they do their signature jokes because they work. So start small and figure out what works. And you go, oh my God, all those people signed up for my free thing. Or oh, I've got 10 consultations from that, you know. And then look it back and say, what happened and why did it work? You have to, people are afraid to go back and listen to themselves speak. To analyze what they did, they want to walk away and move forward. The best thing you can do is determine, hey, that didn't land as well with this group as it did with that. Maybe you're talking to the wrong audience. So understand who your ideal audience is. Make sure you're getting in front of them and make sure that you understand who that audience is. And are they buyers or are they the people that are just listening in their car? And do you have something quick that you can share with them where they can remember to download whatever it is you've got? I hope this makes sense.
No, so, it absolutely makes sense. Absolutely makes sense.
So you have to have different levels. You should have 3 tiers to whatever you're doing. An easy yes, or could be even a freebie. And then an easy yes offer under $1,000. And then the next offer is something bigger. So people can just jump in easy, get to know you, and then, oh, you want to work more with me? Now I have this offer. Oh, okay, that's a 6-month program. That's great. But you know what? I'd like to be with you for next year. Then that's your higher one. So you've got to have those steps. You can't take them from 0 to 5,000 in 20 minutes. It's just not going to happen, especially to a cold audience.
Yeah, Well said, cold audience. And I have said to many people and myself, I actually just contacted a colleague of mine and we've been on each other's shows quite often. I'm like, okay, I'd like to come back onto the show. And she's like, great, let's book it in. Because you can also build trust by being
Right.
seen with on the same show, even if they are or are not following you per se, because it may take a while for them to do that. So I think being seen in the same place also just gives its presence.
You become part of their community, and that's the whole idea. And I just know being a part of a community, that community is huge. And if you can build your community, you have a community. I mean, these are people who know, like, and trust you, follow you anywhere, will do anything for you. I'm one of them. So you want to be in that community. And so once they love you and they get to know you, and you're getting third party referrals, things like that, stick with it. We're so big on, I'm going to join this group. And oh, after a month, it's not working. I'm going to go join this group. You have to stay with something long enough for people to know you so that they want to then take the next step. It's a trust thing.
The trust thing. My darling, before we wrap up, is there anything that you'd like to share with our audience that we haven't covered, and or where are you next? And we're going to have everything in the show notes. That's why we have our, beautiful Carmel taking all information as we're sharing. Where do you want people to reach out to you, or what do you got going on?
Well, if they wanted just to reach out to me, it's tony@tonycaruso.com. Very simple, easy. If they are in the Vegas area or the Dallas area or in Calgary, we are bringing a 2-day workshop for speakers called Speakonomics. And you can go to www.speakonomics.com.net. I'm sorry, .net. And you can find out where the locations are and the dates are and spend 2 days with us and my experts as we teach everything you need to know about speaking on stages.
That's fantastic. And look at, if you're not in those areas, there's these things called planes and trains. And you know what I mean? I flew from Vancouver, Canada to go share with your group in
Yeah,
Dallas, right?
they
I
love
mean,
you.
and it's fun. And I think that's one of the biggest things about speaking is all the people that you meet. And we're all on our own different mission, but there's a really powerful collective around speakers. It's like, oh, I speak. Oh, do you know? And speakers are great. They're great advocates for helping you speak and get onto other stages. So if you're looking for exposure, that's where to go, right? Is to talk to your fellow speakers. But yeah, there's these things called planes, and it makes speaking fun. And it's actually really, from a media standpoint, it's really great for your social community to see that you are willing to get packed to the airport or in the car, filling it up, show people the process, and you're on your way to go do something because it really is like a mission. I mean, that's where we talk about mission accepted. Like, how big's your mission? We talk about, my last question to you is going to be something around that. But, like, how big are you willing to go? Like, what are you willing to do? And that's really powerful. It's very powerful. It's very branding. It's very exciting. It's great when you can do stuff online. It's great when you get on a plane and train and go do stuff in person. They drive each other. But the last question that I have for you around that, which is about taking risks, getting out there, doing the deal, jumping in. Missions don't happen in your cubicle, right? We know that because some people have left a 30-year cubicle to go do this. This is entrepreneurship, people. This is variety. This is variable. This is, it worked. Oh, it didn't work. Oh, guess what? 6 months later, I found out it actually did work because that chick that I met in that meeting just landed me my biggest contract. Like, it's all of it. It's like a Vitamix. You know what I mean? You just keep putting it in. We know that you win in the end. But Tony, tell us, what was one of the biggest risks that you had to take in your world of entrepreneurship? Like, what was something that was like, whoa, this was risky. It felt risky. Made me shake, make you shake a little bit, or make you question yourself, or whatever it was. What was one of the biggest risks you've taken in your business or businesses?
I never wanted to be a coach. Never in my entire life. I thought, oh my God, coaches, yeah, not for me. And as an event planner, 2020 hit, my entire business tanked. I was sitting on the couch, feeling sorry for myself, drinking wine and chips and salsa. And I got on a call with my mentor. This was in December. I actually paid a lot of money for a coaching program because I knew I had to have somebody pull me out of this hole that I was in. And within 45 minutes, she had set up an entire coaching program for me and had built it and showed me how to sell it and said, you know, Tony, this is where you need to go because everything was virtual. I was in California, there was nothing opening up, all my events had died. So within 3 months, I'd made my money back and it was thousands of dollars for this coach. And I built a coaching program that scared the living daylights out of me because I didn't want to do this, but it worked. And because of that coaching program was then brought under the eWomen Speakers Network. And now I've partnered with a larger company, and that's what I do. And I have a larger audience. And I have people in my coaching program from all over North America, where I was just regional in California when I started. So sometimes you have to step back and take somebody else's opinion and start listening to other people and believe what they believe in you. You need someone who sees you bigger than you truly are. And that's why coaching is so important. I didn't believe that before, but I truly believe it now.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's important. I think it's important that people start understanding a lot more about risk and what that looks like what that looks like, right? You talked about before the stage, off the stage. So behind the curtain, what does it look like? In front of the curtain, what does it look like? Thank you for sharing that. Last thing is, what music are you listening to right now that you're gigging on?
It's so funny you asked this question, and I'm old school. I'm an old school disco girl, and so it's all 70s. And I'm not a big music person. I listen to a lot of books in the car, not a lot of music. But when I do listen to it's the Bee Gees. It's Donna Summer. I'm an old soul, so those are my go-to. They bring up a lot of great memories, and I absolutely love. Last Dance by Donna Summer gets me going.
That's awesome. I'm gonna, when I hear people talk about things, I put it on. Right now, I am in such a Dylan craze. I am like, I saw the movie twice. I am crazy about Dylan. My algorithms obviously found it because they shoot it to me every single day on YouTube in the morning. I'm falling in love with that guy all over again. Thank you so much for being on the show. We so appreciate you and everything you do. And I just love our relationship. And those are some of the things people that are completely unforeseen. You never know when you say yes, how that's going to turn into something for, 3 days, 3 weeks, or, multiple years. And I will say, if anyone wants to see themselves on the Mission Accepted podcast, look, we do solo shows like this. We do group shows, which are so much fun because you're in your sector and you're having a great time. And we do a three-part mini series. And if you haven't heard, and you probably have, is we've launched the Women's Channel. So we have this beautiful women's televised channel that if you speak with us in the high level featured speaks, you will be there. You will be able to see Tony, sure enough, kicking off that party. We will launch it live. We will launch the announcement March 2nd at an Oscar watching party. But watch for when it comes. But if you want to speak for us and have that televised audience, we're here for you. So if that's something that sounds attractive to you, then just give us a call on the inside. But otherwise, get on a plane, get on a train, drive, tell your
Get on
friends.
a stage.
Get on a stage, or learn how that when
Yeah.
you want to get on a stage, how to do it so you ROI in the way that you want to. Thank you so much for spending time with us, Miss Toni Caruso, and I
I
know
love
that you
spending time with you. Thank you.
Okay, you guys, be well. Stay groovy.